Welcome, 24/7 World Radio Podcast. Today, on this Monday, March the 10th, 2025. I normally don't give a broadcast on Monday. I usually have my Sunday sermon, then I have my guest George and Dr. Jeff and Eric Rodriguez. But today I think it's an important topic that I must deal with. For your benefit, for my benefit. And the topic is biblical nationalism. Biblical nationalism. So, what is the purpose of government? Because without a biblical government, you cannot have biblical nationalism. So I'll first describe to you what a nation is, how nations came into existence, according to the Bible, which is validated by true history. So we find, first of all, that the Lord, after the flood, after the worldwide flood, I don't call it a global flood, the earth is not a globe, there's nothing global. After the worldwide flood on the earth plane, where the water was, 15 feet higher than the highest mountain. And I maintain the mountains were really not that high at that time. After the flood, and after the flood lasted about a year, it wasn't just 40 days and 40 nights when people want to mock the Bible. After the waters ran off, and you had the creation of the Grand Canyon and other places like that, in like 6 months, Noah and his sons and with their wives exited the ark. And the ark has been discovered in the mountains of Ararat. It has split in half. And there is an excellent video you can get on finding Noah's ark, finding Noah's lost ark. So, after they leave the ark, Noah and his three sons stay in a little vicinity for a while. And in Genesis 9, we're going to see what happened then. We read, these are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. So between Noah and his three sons, we have the earth's population of today. Verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. So we have Noah here, who drank too much wine, and he sinned and he got drunk. Remember, drunkenness is a sin. Drinking wine is not a sin. We believers in Christ are to be not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We can drink wine, but we're not to be drunk with wine. Well, Noah's drunk, and he's in his own tent, and he's naked. Verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. So Ham went into the tent of his father and saw him naked. And then he goes out, he leaves the tent and tells the two brothers, Japheth and Shem. Verse 23, and Shem and Japheth, the two brothers of Ham, took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. They didn't see his penis, okay? They didn't see his testicles. They didn't see his sexual organs. But Ham did, And that's when he went out to the tent and talked to his brothers about, I saw Dad, he's naked there. So Ham delighted in gazing upon the nakedness of his father, but we shall see that he did something more than just looked at him. So the two brothers, they cover up their father, but don't look upon their father's nakedness. And in verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. So his younger son, his youngest son, Ham, did something to him. I maintain that Ham committed a sexual act against his father, and that he probably sodomized him. Committed a homosexual act against his father, Noah. That's how Noah knew what had been done to him. He was probably sore. And so, when Noah realized what his younger son had did unto him, what Ham did to him, verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan. He didn't curse his own son, Ham. He cursed one of the sons of Ham, whose name was Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So now we have Canaan under the curse, because this is a curse. It's a curse of subordination of Canaan and his descendants to the descendants of Japheth and Shem. And I maintain that this curse extended to the not only to the son of Canaan, but through intermarriage and interbreeding of the blacks, because Ham is black, Japheth is white, Shem is Asian and Oriental, out of which will come the Arabs and Asiatics. So with this curse put upon Canaan by his father Noah, by his grandfather Noah, it's a curse of subordination that extends genetically through intermarriage or intersex between these blacks, Canaan and his other black brethren. And so this curse of subordination is going to extend now to the entire black race. And they will be subordinated to the sons of Japheth. Those are the white nations, and the sons of Shem. Those are the Asian nations and Middle Eastern nations. This is why there's no such thing as a racially black Jew. If that was the case, they would be under the curse of subordination of the blacks. So the Jew would be under the Abrahamic covenant of, well, bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee, and under the covenant, under the cursing of subordination. Can't happen. There's no such thing as a racial black Jew. So, there are black converts to Judaism, but there are no such thing as black racial Jews. They do not exist. So he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So here we have the curse of subordination of the blacks from Canaan to the other his other brothers. He had three other brothers. And so we're going to have the subordination of the black races. And this is the history of Africa. Africa has always been a subordinated continent. There's never been any advancements whatsoever in that continent. No, the blacks did not build Egypt. That's nonsense. That's black corruption, perversion of history. The blacks did conquer historically white Egypt in the 25th dynasty of Egyptians. You can read that in a book called Race and Reason by Carlton Putnam, who was the founder of Delta Airlines. I read it into my broadcast several years ago. But Africa has no advancements whatsoever for 6,000 years. The only advancements in Africa are because white men went into Africa and brought their technology with them, and later on the gospel with them. and began to civilize them and to teach them to wear clothing so they're not running around naked. So they're not engaging in cannibalism. So they're not engaging in massive tribal warfare, where all there is merely tribal chiefs conquering other tribes. There is no peace in Africa. It's all because of the curse of subordination, and with the curse of subordination, the blacks in general have a lesser intellectual capacity. They have a superior physical capacity that fits them for their subordination. That's why the slave traders brought the blacks into the middle Caribbean. After they killed off the native there, the native Shemites, the Indians, they found the blacks four times more productive, according to the book History of Slavery and the Slave Trade by Blake. And so that's why they brought blacks into South America, Central America, and ultimately some of them into North America, because they're fitted for their servitude that they've been cursed with. And they're not fitted for intellectual pursuits as the whites are or the Shemites are. Because the blacks invent no language. They have no written language. The ones who have written language are whites and Shemites. So, this curse of subordination is very important. We have to know this. We don't look down upon the blacks. This is their curse that they've been put under by Noah due to what Ham did to Noah. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it's not fair that when Adam sinned, we all sinned. It's not fair that when Adam died, we died in him. It's called seminal headship. We were in the semen of Adam. It's not a federal headship. It's seminal headship. It says Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek through the loins of his father before Levi was ever born. Genesis 10, Hebrews 5, 6, 7. So we have this curse upon the blacks, the sons of Ham through Canaan. And then we have the fact that they would be servants, the blacks would be servant to the whites and to the Shemites. And this is true history. This is the history of the races up until forced miscegenation in the 20th century. So, we have the three major races of mankind. I also don't use the word humanity. We're not humans. We're men. We're of the race of mankind. We are not humans. Our women do not have fetuses. Our women have babies. Animals have fetuses. Fetuses are two-part, body, soul, body, spirit. Man is body, soul, spirit, three-part. So that's why man is not a fetus. He's made in the image of God. Animals are not made in the image of God. So we see here, verse 26, and he, Noah, said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, because it's through Shem that we'll get Abram, and through Abram we'll get the 12 tribes, Judah. From Judah we'll get David, from David we'll get Christ. So Christ was a Shemite with a little bit of Japhetic blood in him, I'm sure. But he had no black blood in him. He was not black. The curse of Canaan never extended to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's a Shemite, probably olive-skinned, probably black hair, as the tribe of Judah was and is today. So God, blessed be the Lord, God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So the descendants of Canaan will be the servants of the descendants of Shem. That's why Solomon had black slaves in his empire. 27. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant. So Canaan, the blacks, are to be the servants of the whites. And the whites are now granted the privilege to live in the tents or the lands of Shem. That's why we white men were allowed to come over here into North America and live in the land of Shem, because the American Indians are Shemites. They look like Asians with a little different features. They're Shemites. And the Lord gave us permission to live in the tents of Shem, because when we came here, we were primarily Bible-believing people escaping white Roman Catholic Europe. Like the 30 Years' War, like the Revocation Edict of Nantes, like the St. Bartholomew's Massacre, and on and on and on with the Spanish Fury. We were escaping white Roman Catholic Europe from our annihilation, and so the Lord brought us over here on the Mayflower with William Bradford, and with the purpose of evangelizing the natives. He gave us land here to live in, which is the land of Shem. And I've gone so far as to say, because of the sin of the white race in North America, the Lord is taking away the land that he gave to us, and he's given it back to Shem. That's why we have all these Mexicans and all these Hispanics flooding into this country, to 40 to 50 million of them, brought in here by the Jesuit-controlled emergency war powers military government to weaken and ultimately destroy the white race of North America by overrunning us with subordinate blacks from Africa, Ethiopia, and overrunning us with the descendants of Shem. It's a calculated destruction of the sons of Japheth for our departure from the scripture, for our personal sins, that we are reaping what we have sowed here in North America. That's why I say the only remedy to this is that we Bible-believing white men of God need to separate into our own region of North America here, and it's simply for us. We're going to have our own country, starting with our own county where we declare our independence, or our own state where we declare independence from District of Columbia. But this will never change. There will always be the three major races, and every empire that's miscegenated and race mix, as was Rome, and ultimately, to a certain degree, Egypt, is finished. A race mix, miscegenated nation is against the oracles of God here in Genesis 9, and will ultimately be punished for it by its ultimate destruction. Okay. That's why black men need to marry black women. White men need to marry white women. Shemitic men, Asian men need to marry Asian women. We need to keep to ourselves. I remember I was in Cyprus years ago, and I was at a little church there visiting, and there was a group from Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka is near India. They have brown skin, dark-haired features, very, very attractive people. The women are beautiful, of course. But they have their racial features, their unique language, and their unique lands. And I like seeing them. They're Sri Lankans. They're not me. I don't want to be them. They don't want to be me. They have the different nationalities the Lord has instituted for mankind to keep us separate racially and ultimately linguistically and ultimately geographically. That's the best for mankind in our condition of sin, living on the Lord's flat earth, on this plane of the earth. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at his second coming, he will establish his thousand-year reign, and the nations will be preserved during his reign, as we read in Isaiah chapter 2, and the nations will go up to the house of the Lord. Let us go to see the God of Jacob. Let him teach us of his ways. That's Christ. So during his millennial kingdom, nationhood will be reinforced and established as it should be now. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the sons of Noah were all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So this is the record of the Lord's sovereign creation of the races here in Genesis 9. It's not a result of evolution. The earth is not one day older than 7,000 years. And if you press it, then you can't prove it scripturally, I'll give you 10,000. But there's not millions and zillions of years, as the evolutionists, as the atheistic, God-hating, Bible-rejecting atheistic evolutionists want to teach us in their socialist, communist schools of higher brainwash. The races are a sovereign creation of man. And anybody who hates somebody who's not their race hates God too. They're not giving God the glory of him creating a specific race that was not, it's not this man's race. I don't hate black people. I just don't want them to be in my country. I want them to have their own country. I don't want a race mix. I don't want to miscegenate. And I have the right of freedom of association generally, but I don't have the right of freedom of association now. I have to associate with them. I have to associate with these Hispanics coming up here. I have to associate with these foreign blacks. I have to associate with these Asians and Vietnamese and Koreans and all these other that were driven here by the empire's wars in their countries that decimated Korea and South Vietnam and the other nations, China. Forced miscegenation is our punishment for allowing this government to wage war on Vietnam or on Thailand or on Korea or in Afghanistan or Somalia. All these foreign wars justify bringing those people in here as refugees. I don't want them here. But it's our judgment, it's the judgment of white men upon us by the Lord for allowing this Pope's Emergency War Powers Military Government, his Holy Roman 14th Amendment, Socialist Communist American Empire, to wage war around the world in your name. What a disgrace. Remember, empire builders are bloody murderers. That's why when Trump talks about absorbing Greenland, he's an empire builder. That's why he talks about absorbing Canada. He's an empire builder. Instead of cutting off all foreign aid, no more foreign aid to any country. And bringing home our military from the 1,000 bases overseas, and bringing home our Navy, except our Navy can be used to protect our sea lanes, our commercial sea lanes, and our borders. We're not going to go prostitute our Navy to protect Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi and those other places. We don't need their oil. We got plenty of oil here. It's all a justification to garrison this Roman American army navy around the world for the benefit of the Pope. And that's against nationhood in the Bible. Empires, empire builders are not nationalistic. They're internationals. That's why in being internationalistic, they're all socialists. Socialism is international. Building a middle class, a laissez-faire free enterprise middle class is nationalistic. You have universal capitalism, cartel capitalism, which is internationalist. That's why they have, they're in all these different nations. That's why these IBCs, international business corporations, can have their IBC created in Panama or where Belize, whatever they want to create it, Seychelles. But they can do a business anywhere in the world and all their money that they make is tax-free. Tax-free. But when they bring it in the United States, then they have to pay a tax on it. But they have their CPAs so astutely trained that it's like 4%. It's just terrible. It's the destruction of the middle class, the building of the cartel capitalists for the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment American Empire to wage war around the world for the benefit of the Pope. That's all this is, people. Commerce and war. Commerce and war. So we have now the creation of the three major races of mankind that God has created for his glory. And by the way, in Revelation 5:9, we have people from every race and every tongue and every people before the Lamb, before the throne, worshiping God. We read Revelation 5:8, 9, and 10. And when he had taken the book, when Christ takes the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, the 24 elders are literal men there before the Lord, and they're representing the church, the body of Christ, which is probably surrounding everything there. But the Lord is representing, used these 24 elders as priests, and they're representing the church, the body of Christ, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. That's a little scroll. It's the title deed to the earth that Christ takes from the hand of the Father. You see, Christ has equitable title to the earth. The Father still has legal title. And we read, "And to open the seals," there's seven seals on this scroll, "for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Everybody there, with all the church, the body of Christ, is there, and they're represented by the 24 elders. And these 24 elders fall down before the Lamb, and they all have harps. And these 24 elders say that we have been redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Blacks, whites, Asians, Jews, Gentiles, all the different nationalities. They're all there. That's why God started modern missions in the 1800s. It would take the gospel to the ends of the earth using the British Empire and the American Republic. We became the greatest evangelistic nations in the history of the church, the body of Christ, and more people were saved in the 1800s probably than the previous centuries, the previous 17 centuries. The gospel went everywhere, and they were taking the Reformation Bible with them, the AV 1611. It's present edition of 1769. We have Sunday schools being born. All that would happen in the 1800s. Sunday school movement, modern mission movement. And that was necessary to fulfill this scripture. Kindred and tongue and people and nation, they would be saved. They would be priests. They would be kings and priests, a holy generation, a royal priesthood. 1 Peter tells us that. So, God is no respecter of persons. He'll save you no matter what your race is. But with regard to mankind living in its juxtaposition, you like that word, in its relationship to one another, we have African subordination, we have black subordination, and white or Japhetic and Shemitic supremacy, period. And then we also racially have a Jewish supremacy, and that the Lord's preserving that race during their diaspora. So there's a special Jewish supremacy, which is why the Jews have a higher intellect. They have 11% higher IQ than the Germans. And I maintain the Germans are the most intelligent of the white races. God has equipped the various different peoples and races with the abilities to fulfill their destinies. Black supremacy when it comes to physical exploits if they're fed in a white country. Black supremacy when it comes to the servile things that they're good at. Remember, sports is nothing but servility. Sports are out there in a serving capacity to entertain the whites and the Arabs, whites and the Shemites. The blacks are entertained too, but entertainment is servility. It's serving. It's a servitude. That's why Malcolm X went after the blacks and he says, "Oh, you're a bunch of trumpet players. And don't you talk about being equal to the whites till you have your manufacturing bases. What are we, the blacks? A bunch of entertainers, a bunch of sports people, a bunch of trumpet players." Referring to John Coltrane, the black trumpet player. So this is what we have here. And when you force equality of blacks with whites, you beat down the whites and you justify giving special privileges to the blacks to bring them up, quote unquote, to the level of the whites when you are destroying the country. In violation of Genesis 9. However, the Lord continues to save his elect out of every people, out of every nation, out of every race. Now, after the Lord's sovereign creation of the three major races from which are derived all the other races and peoples, the devil wants to unite them all. So the devil is going to unite the sons of Shem, the sons of Ham, the sons of Japheth. Japheth is the oldest now. And he's going to unite them all racially. We're going to have one great big race mix time for the purpose of a commercial enterprise and a worshipful enterprise of building the tower in the plains of Shinar, Babylon, called the Tower of Babel. What God wants separate, the devil wants combined. So he's going to combine them here. And it's for probably over 100 years, that the races have been unified and are building the Tower of Babel. It's a huge tower in the plains of Shinar in Babylon. They have been mixed by their political and religious leader, their priest king, who is a black man named Nimrod. Nimrod was black. And this history of him being black is carried over in the Egyptian tale of Osiris. Osiris of Egyptian mythology is black. It's proven in Alexander Hislop's work, The Two Babylons. Read it. So we have a black man ruling over the whites and the Shemites in Babylon, in building the Tower of Babel, because Nimrod is from Ham. So we have this building of, in Genesis 10, we have the nations. We have the breakdown in Genesis 10. Beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, and Akkad, talking about the Nimrod. You have Ham, you have, from him comes Nimrod, and it goes down farther, and then you have, these are the sons of Ham. It finishes up in verse 20. Then 21, unto Shem, also the father of the children of Eber, and the brother of the of Japheth the elder. So now we have the descendants of Shem, and then finally we have the descendants of Japheth in Genesis 10. So those are the creation of the nations racially, and they're giving boundaries in which to live. But Genesis 11 comes along, and we have Nimrod uniting all the races to build the Tower of Babel for commerce and for worship of the devil. And the Lord then comes down and he institutes languages among the races to separate them. God wants separate nations, separate peoples, separate races. And so he's given us different racial makeups, and he's given us different languages to keep us separate in our nations. That's what the Lord wanted and intended. But the devil, in building empires, race mixes, miscegenates different nations together in the purpose of uniting it under his center city of an empire, which ultimately is for commerce and war, serving the papacy, serving the devil's papacy, and in the end then to be destroyed. Because that's the way empires go, to their destruction. So now, after this, we have the creation. We have Abram, he comes out of Ur of the Chaldees. He's a descendant of Shem, not Japheth. And by the way, the sons of Japheth now they'll migrate. Ham will go south into Africa, or Kemet, or whatever you want to call it. Japheth will go northwest into Europe, and Shem will go east into China, Japan, those nations. So we have the different geographical boundaries of these sons of Noah and their nations that proceeded after them with different languages. Okay? So this is God's established order. This brings us to the establishment of nations and what is best for nations. I call this biblical nationhood. And I have about 21 articles that I just wrote up this morning, because we have all this talk about Trump and tariffs and starting a trade war. Tariffs don't start a trade war. Tariffs are for competition. Tariffs are necessary if you're going to have domestic manufacturers that can produce what is necessary for the defense of your country. You need gun manufacturers. You need bullet manufacturers. You need aircraft manufacturers. All for their primary purpose of war, in the defense of your country. Not to invade another country, but for your country's defense. Now, if a country is threatening to attack you, to attack your country, you have every right to have a preemptive attack and attack them first. It's like a bully. He's coming after you. He's going to hit you. Well, you hit him first. There's somebody coming after you with a knife, like these little black savages in the major cities coming up these white men and cutting their throats in New York City. I saw one video on that. He's coming to you with a knife. You pull your knife and put it right in the solar plexus. Kill him first. You have a right to a preemptive attack against someone who wants to kill you, be that individually or be it nationally. Your foremost right is your right of self-preservation, your right to life. And nobody has a right to take it from you unless you have committed a crime worthy of death. And therefore, it will be the government that should put you to death, because God instituted capital punishment for murderers. And I'll take it one step farther. He instituted capital punishment for murderers who are also traitors. Traitors should get one sentence. That's hanging. And a public hanging at that, where we can take out the children with a lunch bag and say, okay, we're going to go to a hanging today, and this is what happens to traitors. This is why you'll never be a traitor, because I'm going to give you an education today about what we do to them. And you take little Johnny with you, and he gets to watch Aldrich Ames or whoever it is, it's a traitor, hang to by the neck until dead. God instituted capital punishment for murderers, Genesis 9:6. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God instituting government for the punishment of evil and for the reward of good. 1 Peter chapter 2, Romans 13. And Romans 13 was never written as a defense for tyranny. All you Arminian hyper-dispensationalist apostate Calvinists. And so, I want to give you like 21 reasons, 21 things to do if you want to have a country that's going to survive. First thing is, your country has to bring the Bible, the Reformation Bible, into its public life. That Bible needs to be read in its churches. It needs to be read in its courts. It needs to have the Ten Commandments out on the courtroom steps. You need to bring the Bible into your public life, because the Bible promotes righteousness and it acts as a restraint against sin. And the reason why the people that occupied the land of Canaan were kicked out is because of their sins, because of their sexual sins particularly, and they're enumerated in the book of Numbers, I believe. Sexual sin will justify your removal from the land in which you live. That's our lesson from Genesis 15. The Lord said, I'll bring out your descendants, Abram, after 400 years, in a land that's not theirs. But I'll do it when the iniquity of the Amorites has come to the full. To kick a people off the land using another people, their iniquity has to come to the full. And don't you talk to me how righteous and good the American Indian tribes were. They were savages. When their iniquity came to a full, the Lord used the white Bible-believing people to bring them over here and put them off of their land. That's what he's doing to us right now. Because of our iniquity, he's putting us off our land. Here in North America. God is no respecter of persons. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so, if you're going to have a nation that's going to survive, you got to have the Bible in your culture. You got to take an oath on the Bible when you're sworn in, given inauguration as president. It better be the right Bible. And you better appoint people in your administration that believe that book, because they'll be honest and they'll do right things. I have to laugh. They have a law against American companies bribing other foreign countries to get their contracts. In my country, There will be no business in my country of ProBaptical that is permitted to give a bribe to another businessman of a foreign country. And if you do that, we will fine you. We might even just confiscate your business. We will not tolerate bribery, nor will we be bribed. You got to have checkmate of sin in your business enterprise if your business is going to prosper. You have the Bible in your public life. You have laws that are passed in subordinate of that, upholding it. So we have a common race, common language, a common history, and a common boundary. We have boundaries to our country. And nobody can come in my country unless they come in properly with a visa, or if they're going to emigrate, be immigrants. They come here, and over a period of time, they're then given my citizenship status, but they repudiate their previous citizenship status. And they learn the language of my country, because our public language, another strength of a nation, has to be its language. You have no strong nations that are bilingual, including Canada, with French and English. You got really a sovereign nation up there in Canada where the capital is, which is Quebec. The capital of Canada is in a Roman Catholic province. Isn't that nice? Montreal. So, you can't have a strong nation that's bilingual. Can't happen. And if you have more languages, it's even worse. No people can unite unless they have a common language, they have a common race, they have a common border, and they have a common history, a common religious history, and that they are Bible-believing people. This, by the way, will not work for Muslims. It will not work for Roman Catholics. Because Islam and Catholicism only produce military dictators. They do not produce limited republics as we Calvinist Protestants and Baptists established. Whether it be the Netherlands, whether it be America, whether it be Canada, no limited, whether it be Texas, limited republic of white men who read the Bible. That's what we want. That's the only thing that works, as far as I'm concerned, of my race and of my people. In your nation, your government must be your servant. The government was set up for your benefit. Now, we white men don't get any benefit from our government, haven't for years, and we're starting to get some benefit now by the Trump repealing all these horrible, terrible, socialist, communist things that have been done by the rhinos, as well as the Democratic Communist Democratic Party. But government has to be your servant. And when you walk into the clerk of court, there's some smiling ladies there. Can I help you, sir? Rather than, yeah, what do you want? Hey, lady, you're my servant. I'm the beneficiary. You're the trustee. You want to try that again? Want to be civil to me? And you don't take that treatment from these public servants. They think they're your lords. You put them real soon in reminder that you're my servant and I'm the beneficiary. You're the trustee. And you need to help me because that's what we created your office for. And you're not doing me any favors down here in the government office. Not up here, down here. I'm up here. You're down here, government servant. Trustee. So the government is to be your servant. And those manning government should be there with your permission. We don't believe in divine right. That's Roman Catholic. That's Muslim. Divine right. That's just Chinese. Divine right. I was born to be a king. Oh, really? Not in a free republic. Not in a Calvinistic, Bible-believing republic. In England, even though they had a king of divine right, they still had limited government because of the effect of the Reformation in England. So it's a limited government. We have a free press. Thanks to Martin Luther, freedom of conscience, speech, and press, we have a press that is to be free, able to report on any topic responsibly. If you slander anybody, then you can be sued. So the press has to be responsible, because if they're going to report things that are not true, they're going to pay for it. But it should be able to report anything it needs to report on. We've had a control press in America for over 100 years. Rupert Murdoch, that Knight of the Equestrian Order, owner of Fox, is one of the greatest press lords in the world. And we don't have any press lords in my nation, in my country, in a free country. There aren't any press lords. We have an uncensored press. That way we can report that, yes, it was the driver that turned around and shot Kennedy in the face with his 45 with a special load that exploded and shot simultaneously by the storm drain shooter there in Dallas. Or that's why we can report that, yes, it was Jerry Parr that shot Reagan inside the limousine with a flechette. And what's he going to... Yes, it was Thane Caesar who really shot RFK in the back of the head. Thane Caesar then is taken out of the country and he dies a few years ago in the Philippines. I mean, the press should be able to report all that stuff. And the reason why the press isn't reporting it is because there's a military intelligence operation here that controls the press, that controls the politics, and so therefore you've got to get rid of the military intelligence or the intelligence services that can be subverted by men that are not truly nationalistic. Got to have uncensored press. You got to have protective tariffs. George Washington, Andrew Jackson, and William McKinley were known for one policy particular, and that was to erect protective tariffs to protect your domestic manufacturers so that you can make guns and bullets and cannon and cannonball and ships and destroyers and whatever, primarily for the defense of your nation. And then you have the supplies, the food, the agriculture, which is foundational to all of it. So we feed ourselves. Why do you think the Pope, in sustaining his revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem, which is Israel today, and the Jews have a right to their land, why do you think they made sure that Israel was full of kibbutzes, full of places where they could grow their own food? Because they could not be dependent on shipping or bringing in food to that country. Israel has some of the finest food I've ever eaten. Key to their preservation are the farmers in Israel. And by the way, that's what they're destroying here in America. They're destroying American farms. They started doing that with the Pope's New Deal, with FDR, with the Agricultural Adjustment Act, that wicked sin. We have to have protective tariffs to protect our agriculture, to protect our domestic manufacturers. No protective tariffs means you're finished. And all these leftist, socialist, communist punks, public radio, national public radio, NPR, and all the others, going against Trump for his protective tariffs. You fools. You think the world wants us? You think the world likes us? You think the world's going to give us copper and tin from the Philippines when we need it for our manufacturing base and for other things? You think that? You think we're going to be helped by other nations? You're crazy. Maybe just stupid. You're refusing to face the facts. And because of the policies of this empire for the last 92 years since yesterday, has created a world of enemies for us American people. And they're just chomping at the bit for the time to get even. And part of that getting even is we're going to bring all of our domestic manufacturing goods into this country with no tariffs to put our domestic manufacturers out of business. So our people have no place to work. That's the reason for no protective tariffs. And Trump is resisting that, and rightfully so. Because he's building an empire. And if you're going to build an empire, you better have protective tariffs. There's protective tariffs to protect limited republics, and there's protective tariffs to build empires serving the papacy. I want to go back to a limited republic. I want a limited republic where we have protective tariffs. We have our own domestic manufacturers. I want to see symbols once again that says Made in America, which was the greatest symbol you could have. We made the best stuff. After World War II, we had the best in everything. We used to laugh. We had these radios that said Made in Japan. Aha, Made in Japan. Us white boys would say, look, Made in Japan. There was nothing made in China. Nothing made in USSR. They were busy building Japan as a little commercial colony for D.C. so that Japan ultimately will be a huge commercial entity and will be used against us in the future with China. Your country, my country, it has to be anti-communist. We will not allow any socialism or communism to be promoted by anybody in government. And if you do, that's a capital offense. And we'll take you out and we'll hang you for that. Don't you dare try to tax the working man, to take his money and give it to somebody else who lives in sin or who's lazy. And the lazy man can starve. The Bible's very clear. He that doesn't work, neither let him eat. You don't want to work, man, you can starve to death. And that policy should be reflected in the laws of your country, if you're going to have a country. There will always be poor. Christ said, the poor will always be with you. Well, no, I don't want to eliminate poverty. There's lots of people that deserve to live in poverty. So go ahead, help yourself. But don't you come to my house and want to steal from me, because I'll kill you. Any thief that comes to your house to go in and want to plunder it, you shoot him and you kill him. You get rid of them. You got to pull the weeds so the grass can grow. And the government should give you a medal for it, not have some communist prosecutor prosecute you for it, as they do here all the time. Cops show up. What happened? Oh, he's breaking into my house. He's trying to steal some. And you shot and killed him? Yeah. Okay, good. Let's go. We'll call the ambulance, get him out of here, the coroner. Yeah, good job. And the governor, the mayor of the town gives you a medal. You punish evil and you reward good. That's the purpose of government. That your culture might thrive. That you might have families. That you might have lots of children. And the children grow on to be greater than you are. That's what you want. Children better than you. Composers. Educators. In technology. Mechanics. Whatever. You're better than your parents. That's what you ought to be. I look for it. I'm going to be better than my old man. I'm going to be better than him. I have more opportunities. I have more opportunities for an education. I got more opportunities for an education going on my little iPhone here, whatever the phone is called, and just tapping in. How do you put in a? How do you hang a mount? Are there certain screws you need to get? You can find everything on your little phone, man. We never had that stuff. We had to go to the encyclopedia. We had to go downtown to talk to somebody. You got it at your fingertips, young people. You have the capacity to be the wealthiest, most advanced, most intellectual people in world history. But you're lazy. Can't get up out of bed in the morning. Don't comb your hair. I told my son, you better comb your hair. He said, Dad, that's what all the fags do. I said, what do you mean? That's what the homosexuals do. I said, well, you mean to tell me that straight young white men are not supposed to comb their hair? Yeah, I said, not in this house. You're going to comb your hair, you're going to have a haircut. And if you don't like it, there's the front door. Going on. We need to have honest money. We don't need the Pope's Federal Reserve war script, private money, that they charge you a certain interest rate to use their Federal Reserve notes, their military war script, that's what it is. We want to do it. We don't want to have a central bank, might as well say that. No war script of a central bank with a monopoly on it. No way. We're going to have government minted coins, gold coins, silver coins, and this country is full of gold. It's full of silver. We have plenty of it to coin. And then we have currency that's redeemable or exchangeable for gold and silver coin. And that's the currency you want. And by the way, when you have honest money, that limits the war-making power of your republic. You can't have a huge military-industrial complex. You got military-industrial complex because you got all this credit from the Federal Reserve. Extended to the government by the Pope's Federal Reserve to build this huge military-industrial complex. You don't have that with a republic. So a republican form of government limits your war-making capacity to the defense of your country. Defense of your borders and your shores. But we're not invading anybody. Unless they threaten to invade us first. So, we have no central bank. Andrew Jackson put up protective tariffs. He got rid of the Bank of the United States, thank God. And the second one. And he got rid of, and he instituted gold and silver coin. He was a hard money man. You know what happened under Andrew Jackson's administration? By the way, when he negotiated the best treaty that the Indian nations ever had with the Cherokee out of northwest Georgia, gave him $5 million in gold and $7 million in other property, and enabled them to migrate to the other side of Mississippi River. But that filthy Martin Van Buren is the one behind causing them to migrate late fall, which you have, what, 1,000 deaths of the Cherokee. But Jackson never did that. Oh, you stupid Indians, don't you dig? Andrew Jackson was your friend. Ross, that evil, wicked, half-white Cherokee, with his little agreement, and denied the treaty that was such a blessing to the Cherokee people. He's your enemy. Ross is your enemy. Jackson's not your enemy. Wake up. We're going to have the death penalty for capital murder and for treason. Period. And Trump is right. Anybody that's pushing fentanyl, you put him to death. Well, I'll give you one more. Anybody that's pushing heroin, you put him to death. Anybody that's pushing cocaine, you put him to death. All the drug traffickers get to die. And you know where all that study ends up? It ends up right at the doorstep of Langley for the CIA. And so you find those bastards in the CIA that are facilitating the drug trade, you get rid of them. You find those bastards in the mafia that the CIA is working with, you get rid of them. That's right. Now that is a revolution for good. Now you're going to really emancipate your people because they're not going to be oppressed by that punk mafia, Roman Catholic mafia of the Pope, and by that wicked, sinful CIA and FBI and all the other intelligence communities working to suppress the truth. You read the book, Hoover, and America's Secret Great Inquisition of the FBI by two authors, Cox and the other one. FBI is an inquisition, man. Why do you think the FBI under the Trump administration with this new U.S., with this new attorney general, why do you think they came out to Gene Hackman's house and suppressed the evidence that the local cops were finding? Why do you think that was suppressed? Does it have anything to do with the sexual crimes of those involved with Epstein, huh? You think maybe? Under Trump's watch, Gene Hackman's murder will never be solved. Because Trump was involved with it too. Just like Biden and all these other servants of the Pope. I care not if they're Democrats or Republicans, they're traitors. They're the high-level Freemasons, or Knights of Columbus, the Mafiosos, Knight of the Equestrian Order, Knights of Malta, Knight, all the Cape Crusaders working for the Pope have destroyed this place. Well, not in my country. Because there will be no secret societies allowed in my country. If you're a member of a secret society, we're giving you 24 hours to leave. And if you don't get out of here, you're going to be considered to be a traitor and a subversive, and we're going to kill you. The great Russian Tsar, Alexander I, kicked the Jesuits out of Russia in 1820. He shut down the Masonic lodges in 1822-23. That's what the great Tsar, Alexander I, a Bible-believing man, a Bible-believing Tsar of Russia, did. And you know what happened to him? He was poisoned by 1825. Don't you think for one moment the Jesuit order is not going to come after you when you start to reverse all the things that they've done? Well, they will. That's why Cromwell had 120 bodyguards, 160 bodyguards about him, 20 men at a time, taking different watches, and no one got to Cromwell. He knew the Jesuits wanted to kill him, but he didn't know that his cook, that his doctor, Dr. Bate, would poison him. And that's, you can find that in a book called The Death of Cromwell by Joe Weider, the great bodybuilder. Yep, poisoned. So anybody involved in murdering patriotic leaders will have a special death. Maybe we need to just skin them alive. You want to kill our political leader who has helped us? We're going to give you a special death. Maybe we'll throw you in a ditch of pit vipers so they can bite you to death. And everybody can watch. And this is what happens when you kill a patriotic leader that's leading his people to greatness and goodness and serving God. That's right. Cruel and unusual punishment? I don't think so. Not for anyone who's busy going to take your life using a Spanish invader or a Russian invader or a Chinese invader due to high treason. No, no. There's nothing too evil to do to them. They deserve it. They're killers. They're murderers, and they want to kill us. You need to develop a holy hatred for sin, for treason, for capital murder. To be intolerant of it. The Bible says, thine eye shall not pity. Thine eye shall not pity. I remember my father told me one time, he was a policeman, he said, "Well, Eric, if you ever steal anybody's car and somebody kills you, I'm not coming to your funeral." Yeah. Because my neighbor up the street was a car thief, and it just so happened that somebody found out who he was, and they had a contract out to kill him, and he had to leave town for a year. Mike Austin, I'll never forget it. So we're going to have domestic manufacturers, and all this, you're going to have a middle class. You're going to have a burgeoning middle class that's going to have their own money to be able to affect good political matters and run for an office where they're going to do great things, and they're all armed. By the way, that's another thing. In my country, everybody's armed. All you ladies, you're going to have guns in your purses or wherever you want to have them. But everybody's armed. And I don't have to worry about felons that have committed a violent crime because we just kill them. Yep. Anybody that threatens to kill you with a gun and they're caught, death, man. He threatened to kill you with a gun that he had in your face. Bye-bye. We all carry arms. We all carry guns into the stores, into the offices, wherever. Maybe not into the courthouse, but we carry them everywhere. Because an armed nation is a peaceful nation. An armed populace is a respectful populace. Because if I want to do something evil to this man over here, he just might have a gun to blow my head off. That's a lot of these Mexicans are learning when they come up here, these illegal aliens. They want to hijack somebody's car or steal some white woman's purse. I have a buddy pulled his gun right on him in the parking lot. Get down! Lay down! Get a little savage, had a knife on him too. The state police got there. You got a concealed carry, which we shouldn't. We're never going to have concealed carry in my country. Said, good job. That's right. You want to do that, man? You can get shot right in the shopping lot. That's how you deal with crime. Crime shouldn't be something. We should not have any place where we can't go because we're afraid of the black savages or the Hispanic savages or the Muslim savages with their sinful Sharia law. There should be no place we're afraid to go. You want to come and do something? I'm going to kill you. And I got some buddies here with me too. They're all armed too. So we're going to go downtown wherever we want to go. And we're going to shop and we're going to have some food. We're going to do what we want to do. And you want to hurt us, we'll kill you. So we get the reputation, man. You better not mess with those white dudes. They'll kill you. But it shouldn't have to come to that jungle mentality. It should come to the mentality, hey, I respect them. They respect me. I want no evil towards them. They want no evil to me. That's what we want. In the final analysis, there's no violence. And we're pursuing our lives pursuant to the glory of God. We reward the work ethic. We reward marriage and children. We reward marriage. And we do not award fornication or having children out of wedlock. They have no name, they have no title, they have no right to inheritance until they're adopted. And we distinguish between the bastards and those who are legitimate. We distinguish between that. There is a difference. A bastard could not inherit, couldn't come into the congregation of the Lord till the 10th generation. I told this one lady one time, I said, bastardry is not permitted by the Bible. She said, oh, who cares, you bastard? I was a bastard. I didn't have a father. I said, well, that's your problem, isn't it? You need to deal with God about it. But don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at me for telling you about it. It's only for your good. There's going to be no income tax. We're not going to misapply the income tax law to the average working man exercising the fundamental right to work. Any IRS agent that misapplies the tax law to someone who's not working for the government, an employee for the government, or pursuing a trader business, which is performing the functions of a public office, you apply the income tax to a private business or a private employee individual, we're going to kill you. You better not apply it to a man exercising his fundamental right to exchange his God-given labor for money, which is an even exchange, and there is no gross income there. There's income, but no gross income. Gross income is income derived from a source. Only two sources, employee and trader business. And if you're not a government employee, you have no source. You have straight income, and you don't owe any income tax. The wicked, sinful, socialist, communist income tax. God deliver us. pioneered by the Jesuits as they tutored Karl Marx to write the Communist Manifesto, and one of his 10 pillars is a heavy progressive socialist communist income tax. We're done with it. No more! We're done with your funny money. We're done with your Federal Reserve notes. We're done with your income tax. We're done with it. We want honest money again. We're going to exchange our labor, our God-given labor, until we run out of our labor and we get old and die. We're going to exchange our labor for real money, gold and silver coin, or currency that can be exchanged for it. That's what we have in my country. That's what we used to have here, folks. That's what we once had in America. We're going to have... We're going to eliminate residential property tax. I got a guy here at Russ Diamond, Lebanon County. Yeah, I've had enough of the property tax. We don't need it. We have other ways to raise money. That's right. Because property tax on residential properties is a sin and a crime. You look at all these people that worked all their life to pay off their mortgage that they really didn't have to get a mortgage because they gave a promissory note to the bank, and the bank should have gave them the credit instead of the in exchange for the promissory note. But they had us niggas. That's right, us niggas. They had us niggas fill out a mortgage, so we have to be a slave for 30 years when we provided a promissory note that was equal to the amount of the credit that they extended to us. And that's how the banking criminals have enslaved and destroyed the middle class, through mortgages. They did the same thing through Mexico. You can read a book called The Vatican Billions by Avril Manhattan. Yep. No more mortgages. There'll be a price that a bank will charge you while you're going to exchange your promissory note for the credit we'll extend that we created, and therefore you're going to facilitate this transaction by giving us 20% of the value of the transaction, which instead of $500,000 will be like $50,000, $55,000, in the form of a bill that you can pay over time. And if you don't pay it, you're not going to lose your house. No more taking people's houses from them that can't pay the mortgage or can't pay the property tax. Those sinful days need to go. And anybody who advocates that, they now have committed a capital offense in their desire to destroy the middle class. And you take them out and you hang them too. What did you say? What'd you say, Pocahontas? Pocahontas, are you advocating a socialist communism here? Take her out! Out! Sergeant at arms, take her out and hang her! Tried! Convicted, guilty, just carry out the sentence right now. Anybody else? How about you, Bernie Sanders? You want to advocate your socialist communism, you radical Jew, Masonic Jew, hating your own people? You want to do that? Take them out! Hang them! That's how you got to deal with these people. They hate you. They want to destroy you. They want to wreck everything in your life you ever worked for. So when you get to the end of life, you have nothing except the obligation to pay your bills. This is slavery. This is worse than Negro slavery on the plantations. At least they weren't in debtors, and at least they could go to church on Sunday, and they didn't work on Sunday. That was the black slaves in the Protestant South. That's right. They had it better than a whole lot of white people do right now. And better food for the most part, because it wasn't any GMO junk. And they also had Negro corn, where they would go out and they would grow their own corn. The master would say, this is your field, this is your own corn, you harvest it, take it to town, and you buy what you want, get your money out of it, buy what you want, pocket knives, dresses, whatever. And it's your money! Anybody ever told you about Negro corn? Huh? In the South? I don't think so. Because you got to be taught to hate the white man. Everything he ever did was take from you. Isn't that right, boy? A black man doesn't think like that. Only a boy does, boy. Going on, we're going to have the abolition of secret societies. I told you about that. But the big one now, the last two, is we're going to expel the Society of Jesus out of our country. They're gone. And I'm going to do it with a executive order that cannot be repealed. You're out. In fact, we will put it into our written constitution. No secret society is allowed in ProBaptical, and especially the society, the military order, the Society of Jesus is not allowed here. It's a subversive order. If it's in here, every member is regarded as a capital murderer. It's a capital offense, and we'll take you out, and we'll hang you. Just like the Japanese hung those 22 so Jesuits in 1614, When they found out the Jesuits had come to Japan to take over the place, they hung him, and they expelled Japan from Japan, and they were expelled for over 200 years till 1854, when they were allowed to come back in thanks to James Buchanan and Commodore Perry. God deliver us. All white men were expelled from Japan except the Dutch, because the Dutch helped the Japanese shogun and the emperor keep from being conquered by the Spanish or the Portuguese Roman Catholics and the daimyo. Yeah. What I'm advocating has already been done before, folks. Why don't we know about it? Because you've been dumbed down. You're not dumb. You've been dumbed down. You haven't been informed. You're ignorant. You're without this knowledge. So that's why I'm here to help you. And you can help me by sending me a donation so I can continue to do this. If it's benefiting you, if it's not benefiting, don't listen and don't send me anything. Secret societies are going. The Jesuits are going. But the final coup de grace, because the Vatican is a nation state. Every priest, every bishop, every archbishop, every cardinal is a foreign ambassador for a foreign nation state and need to be registered as agents of a foreign government, but that because of the temporal power doctrine of the Pope. The doctrine of temporal power put upon the world in 756 by Pepin the Great, allowing the Pope to rule all nations, ultimately. You think the Vatican has a right to rule America? The Vatican doesn't have a right to rule my country, or Probaptica, I can tell you for sure. They're outlawed. The Dutch, in the days of the Reformation, used to call all the Catholic priests the priests of Baal. They outlawed voting for Roman Catholic people because they knew the Roman Catholics would always vote for what the priest told them to vote for. So they couldn't vote. That's right. Read it. Get informed. So, no pope will ever come to my country. No papal nuncio or apostolic delegate will ever come to my country. No cardinal, archbishop, or bishop will ever be allowed in my country. And no priest will be allowed. And if the Roman Catholic people don't like that, they can have their papacy deny the doctrine of temporal power, and then we'll just let them in. Because temporal power is the great hitch here. The right to rule the governments of the world. It will just be a religion, but the devil will never permit that. He'll never permit the repeal of the temporal power of the Pope. So whoever's calling for that, why, he gets to die or gets to remove. That's okay. I got my bodyguards. I'm trusting the Lord about it. I got my gun. It's like Cromwell had his gun. He fell out of a carriage one day and his gun went off in his pocket because he knew someone was going to get next to him and try to kill him. The greatest political leader of the last 300-400 years, Oliver Cromwell. Without which we don't have a George Washington or a Republic of these United States of America. That's how important Oliver Cromwell is. Get the book, Life of Cromwell by J.T. Headley, America's greatest historian, even greater than George Bancroft. And lastly, in the country, I'm not going to allow any religion in my country that calls for the death or the persecution of somebody else. That means the Orthodox Jews are out. Because we're not allowing the Talmud in my country. That means the Muslims are out because we're not allowing the Quran in my country. That means the Roman Catholics are out because we're not allowing canon law in our country. And the doctrines of Thomas Aquinas, which J.D. Vance converted to Catholicism on after reading that sin. Every time I see J.D. Vance, I see Thomas Aquinas, the murderer, the one who justifies crusades, the one who justifies putting heretics to death. That's Thomas Aquinas. That's who J.D. Vance was reading, folks. But your liberal, socialist, communist New York Times and other major press lords here in this country run by the Pope's Council on Foreign Relations, they'll never tell you that because you can't know, boy. Just do what we tell you to do and shut up. Go to work, fight the Pope's crusades. We'll praise you for it. Maybe give you a medal. Yeah, we'll give you a medal for fighting the Pope's crusades. What a disgrace. And that's how I'm going to run my country. That's how this country should be run. And it's all premised upon repentance towards God and faith towards Christ. Believing that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Calling all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Because he said a day in which he's going to judge this world by Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to be judged by him, either at the judgment seat of Christ for the saved or the great white throne for the damned? and you shall dwell in the house of the damned forever after the great white throne judgment, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever in your glorified body, and you can remember all the sins and the treason and everything, the rapes and the murders and the thefts that you ever committed in the lake of fire. That's where you're going. That's where the vast majority of mankind's going, unless there is a true repentance and belief of the gospel, which I'm here to tell you of and to encourage you to. Brother Eric John Fels, 24/7 World Radio Podcast, March the 10th, 2025. Please send your donations to my Cash App, which is hashtag Eric, E-R-I-C, J-O-N, P-H-E-L-P-S, Eric John Phelps. Appreciate a donation today. Or you can send your check to RBT, that's Reformation Bible Trust, RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can send a donation to PayPal with rbpbdonate@comcast.net. rbpbdonate@comcast.net. Appreciate your donations. Thank you again, Angie, for yours. And those others of you who continue to send donations, I can't do this without you. And also pray for me because I'm putting out a new complex nutritional supplement as a ministry of the church, that you've never seen anything like it before. And I'm taking it as a tea, and I'll let you know how it's working for me in the next week or so. But it'll be available to you for a recommended donation amount of $100. And you take it every morning in warm water tea and watch how you feel. But I'll keep you abreast on it. Wonderful for you. I think I'm just going to call it Eric's Mix. Eric's Mix. If you want it, let me know. Send me $100 and I'll send it off to you. It's about a 6-ounce glass of it. We have to stay healthy if we're going to have our own country. And we have to stay healthy if we're not going to eat this trash, corrupted food all throughout this culture that's giving people cancer and giving people heart disease and strokes and all that stuff. We've got to avoid that stuff, folks. It's the devil's food chain out there, run by the Pope. Until next time, Brother Eric John Phelps, may you continue to read the Word of God, may you continue to do His will as you read His Word, the AB 1611 Reformation English Bible in its present edition of 1769. Until next time, Maranatha.